Washington Evening Star salutes Admiral Byrd and the United States Antarctic Expedition.
Good evening, America, and hello, little America. The famous signature of the United States Navy Band, Lieutenant Charles Bantert, leader, and Charles Brendler, assistant leader, introduces tonight from the nation's capital a special broadcast for the members of the United States Antarctic Expedition in the frozen wastes at the bottom of the world. The program is presented by the Washington Evening Star with the cooperation of the National Broadcasting Company and the General Electric Company, and will be heard in Little America over GE shortwave radio station, WGEO in Schenectady. And now, Antarctic explorers, to bring you the greetings of the Evening Star, here is Mr. Newbold Noyes, associate editor of the Star.
Greetings to you, Admiral Byrd, and members of the United States Antarctic Service, from the Star and from the capital of the nation. It has been a happy privilege for the Star to participate in planning this program for your entertainment this evening. And now, as time is short, I'll start it by presenting to you the distinguished Assistant Secretary of the Navy, Mr. Lewis Compton, who will send you the official greetings of the United States Navy. Assistant Secretary Compton.
Admiral Byrd and members of your command, on behalf of the Secretary of the Navy, the Honorable Charles Edison, I send to you, your officers and men, the warmest personal greetings and best wishes of the United States Navy. We are following your undertaking with the keenest interest, for you and considerable of your personnel are definitely of the Navy. You have never ceased to maintain the closest contacts with the service. Our interest is keen in all that you do. The Navy highly values your splendid contribution, both to the scientific and general exploration work. It is in the continuation of this work that those in authority in the Navy wish you every possible success. Your careful planning and eminent qualifications deserve a rich reward in present accomplishment. We know that when your present plans are developed, results will be forthcoming that will enhance the prestige of the United States in the fields of Antarctic discovery and exploration. To plant the American flag on virgin territory is indeed a thrilling adventure that you will experience. I am sure, Admiral, that your courage, your careful preparation, and the splendid morale of your command will push all of your plans to a successful conclusion. We hope that every member of your expedition is happy and well, including Hospital Corpsman Hill, who took such good care of me while I was a patient in the Naval Hospital here in Washington recently. The officers and men are to be congratulated on their leader. And you, Admiral Byrd, should be congratulated on the quality of your ship's company. I assure you, below the line, that the citizens of the nation are thinking of you all. We are confident that under your leadership, the present expedition will be the most successful in all Antarctic exploration. Good night, Admiral, and good luck.
You have just heard the Honorable Lewis Compton, Assistant Secretary of the Navy, sending official greetings to Little America. And now, members of the expedition, before we bring you, as a special surprise, the voices of some of your wives and relatives residing in the Washington area, let's listen to that grand music of the United States Navy Band playing the Evening Star March.
Thank you.
Stand by, shipmates, on the United States Antarctic Expedition. Here come personal greetings to some of the members from Washington, from their brothers and wives. First of all, here's Mrs. Malcolm Davis, whose husband is an official of the National Zoological Park here in the nation's capital. All right, Mrs. Davis.
Hello, Malcolm. Jackie, your parakeet is here with me and sends greetings. Your money order is in care of the American consul at Valparaiso. Don't forget that today is government payday. I'll meet you in Panama if you can let me know in time. I can have your Panama collection on the dock. I hear that your ship will only stop at Balboa for a very little while. My toothbrush and pajamas are already in my suitcase. Your emperor penguin arrived safely March the 5th and is doing very nicely. Baby pygmy hippo is on exhibition. Mother and daughter doing nicely, and father likely to survive, thank you. A baby gaur was born at the zoo today. Dr. Mann, Roy Dunier, and Ralph Norris sailed February 17th with the Smithsonian Firestone Expedition to Liberia. Jackie and I say good night, my dear, and I hope I see you in Panama. And by the way, sorry to hear that you lost your clothes in Valparaiso, but perhaps we have solved the mystery.
Yes, perhaps the mystery has been solved, and thank you, Mrs. Davis. Now let's see what Oscar Eklund, brother of Carl on the trip, has to say about all this.
Hello, Carl. You can't talk back now. Your letter from Valparaiso just arrived. Hope you picked up one from us. The Bement family has just left for 8 months in Arizona. Our house is almost finished. Elizabeth and Jake just scrapped the fifth set of blueprints for their house. Mr. Carlock has added a new horse to the Brookmont Riding and Hunt Club. And now about the mystery. Your bride, Harriet, was delighted that you had to remain aboard ship in Valparaiso because you had left your pants in the Antarctic. Maybe you know what happened to Mr. Davis's clothes. Everyone well, including the livestock. Hillbilly is in fine fettle. Brother Con gave you a wonderful blurb in his handbill. Harriet will be with us for Easter, and we'll all take a drink for you. We hope you're hale and hearty and full of dehydrated onions. Best of luck from all of us.
And next comes George Carroll, chief photographer for the Navy, who wants to talk to Brother Art, busy taking pictures in Little America.
Hello, Art. Gene at Norfolk, Benny transferred to VP-55. Pat and Betty, okay. Rest of family well and send her love and wish you the very best of luck. Your movies are excellent. Pan shot slightly fast, otherwise okay. Stills received from Valparaiso could have been better. Suggest filters for contrast. Haven't received answer to my last message. Attention, photographer Shirley. Your shipmates at Guantanamo Bay report the Razorback is still king at Leeward Point and is lonesome for you. Hello to Pilot Snow, Flannel Foot McCoy, Radio Man Clay Bailey. Keep the power on, and when you want to laugh, ask Art to tell you the story of the girl and her rabbits. So long, shipmates. Good luck.
We bring to the mic another lady now, the wife of the trusty pilot of Admiral Byrd, Ashley Snow. And Ashley, if you're ready, your better half is here, and here's her message.
Hello, sweetheart. This is Norma. Bunky and I are doing splendidly. I'm a good pilot with the car. So far, no runs, no hits, no errors. Irene and Pop are okay. I'm moving to a duplex apartment when this lease expires. I'm writing a lot now and will also finish some more etchings before you get back. I saw a great musical show in New York. Dewberry was a lady. Ah, I'll never forget it. Here's a great big bunny hug for you for Easter, and also I'm wishing you a happy birthday on the 23rd of this month. All my love to you and to all the little penguins. Happy landings, good night, and bye-bye now. Oh, by the way, Ashley, one of the nicest things about this long absence is I know exactly where you are. Now, is that nice? I ask myself. Aloha now, and bye-bye.
Thank you, Mrs. Snow. And now we have another newlywed at the microphone. She's Mrs. Herbert Dorsey, Jr., all set to send best wishes to hubby Herbie, a meteorologist with the expedition.
Hello, Herb. It was wonderful to get your second telegram. Your dad has already seen about the income tax. I'm reading Bird's book, Discovery, and have been enjoying the thrills of your experiences without any of the dangers. Dodging trucks in the old Flivver and struggling through Mount Washington blizzards must seem tame to dodging icebergs in the fog and sailing through Antarctic gales. I hope your unloading isn't the nightmare I've been reading about in Bird's last expedition. Take plenty of colored movies of the icebergs. We're all well and send loads of love. It's time to go now, so good luck and good night.
And here is Cully Darlington, brother of Harry Darlington, a member of the expedition who will say hello.
Hello, H.D. The family all and all your friends up here send their best to you. Considering the weather we have had up north this winter, I hope it was better down south where you are. If you get time to write, do tell us something concerning your experiences since you've been away. Bill and all of us send our regards. With all respect, Cully.
And that completes our list of personal appearances by relatives and wives of members of the expedition who hail from the nation's capital. Now, here are a couple more messages from the boys. One for Sigmund Gutenko from his wife, who couldn't be on hand from Baltimore tonight. Glad to hear you are in good health and hope you continue to stay well. Good luck and thanks to Dr. Seifel for the radiogram. All well at home. Bertha and Leon back from their Florida vacation and send regards. Love from Rose, Florence, and baby Alice. And here's another message to Arthur Hill from the boys at the Naval Hospital in Washington. Received your wire. Bekele and Edwards are on the USS Wasp. All hands, send best regards. Signed, Master at Arms. And now that you are all primed as to the latest family headlines, we thought you might like to hear from Bockage, the noted NBC commentator, who will bring you up to date on the world headlines.
Bockage talking from Washington. As I came down to the studio on snowshoes this evening, trying to keep the ice out of my whiskers, I said ice, I-C-E, I heard the natives here complaining about how cold it was, 33 degrees above zero. Before breakfast this morning, there was a terrific snowfall, 1/64 of an inch, and reports from the Treasury roof stated that three starlings had suffered from chilblains. I say this just to remind you fellows that we up here in the national capital have our hardships, too. As you probably heard, we have a duke and an archduke in our midst, and the president has sinus trouble. He was unable to meet His Royal Highness the Duke of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha today, and he was unable to meet the members of the press either, and that's one reason why I haven't very much news. The archduke, as you may know, is Otto von Habsburg. Both gentlemen are exceedingly charming, and if we Washingtonians had a little more opportunity to hobnob with them, we'd probably improve our English. Up till a few moments ago when I came into the studio from the newsroom, there were no recent changes in the map of Europe. However, at the rate things are going on now, I imagine that even the charts of the ocean will be changed. You fellows will probably, when you start back, will probably end up at Port Barrow instead of the Battery. Oh, yes, here is one piece of news that I know will interest you. Last night at the Willard Hotel, some of you remember that hostelry, you know, down on Pennsylvania Avenue where you used to tie up your horse on the way back from the Capitol and stop in to have a quick one. Incidentally, you'll be surprised when you get back. They've taken down those hitching poles. The place has changed quite a little bit here. Well, last night, they had a dinner down there given by Les Amis d'Escoffier, the friends of that great king of the culinary art, Escoffier, the cook, in other words. Well, I don't suppose the bill of fare will impress you fellows so much, but we enjoyed it. Enjoyed everything from that mousse of sole, fish, delicately flavored with mushrooms and fruit, and a sauce that made you dream of ambrosia, and the South Down lamb, oh, and the genet of chicken. Oh, that chicken. That chicken. I tell you, it's enough to make an Eskimo blubber. Compared with your fried pemmican, well, your pemmican would taste like pemmican, I guess, if you get what I mean. And the Rhine wine and that Chateau Margaux with a bouquet like a morning breeze blowing over the Elysian fields. And the sparkling Moët and Chandon. I hope I'm not boring you with all that. And anyway, here's one consolation. In one respect, that dinner was just like yours. It was stag. That's all, and thanks very much.
There you have the world headlines and culinary headlines dispatched by way of shortwave radio to the members of the Antarctic Expedition by Balkage. They tell us that your favorite music down there in Little America is band music. And band music it shall be, with the United States Navy Band playing All Hands. Thanks to the Navy Band for that grand march. Resuming now here in the studios, here's Mr. J.E. McDonald, who brings you a message from the Division of Territories and Island Possessions of the Department of the Interior.
Admiral Byrd, good evening, sir. And to all you other men down there in the Antarctic, greetings. I sincerely hope that you are getting this broadcast tonight, as I am voicing to you the best wishes of the Division of Territories and Island Possessions of the Department of the Interior of the United States government. We want you to know that we are following every step in the excellent progress you are making in your heavy program, and that we are solidly behind you to the last member of the division. It is particularly pleasing to us to note the splendid performance of the Department of the Interior's ship, the North Star, which is making such a grand record with the expedition. We consider it a high privilege to provide this vessel to the United States Antarctic Service. You can be fully assured of our sympathetic understanding of your difficult task and of our wholehearted and enthusiastic support. As it is impossible to greet you singly and individually, as we would like to do, our warmest good wishes go to you as a body, together with our sincerest hopes for the greatest possible success in your magnificent enterprise. And now, gentlemen, the best of luck and good night.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. The Explorers Club is made up of men who have trekked to the far corners of the world searching for new adventures and knowledge, and from this foremost organization, we have two members of the Washington chapter. First of all, here is Captain H.T. Cowling, who has taken his motion picture camera to every corner of the globe and is chairman of the District Explorers. Captain Cowling.
Hello, Dick Byrd. I am privileged to bring you greetings from the Explorers Club. Also, I have a few notes from the Explorers Club Journal, which is just going to press. First, I regret to tell you the death of our good friend and club member, Captain Louis Yancey. Yancey was buried at Arlington Tuesday, March the 5th, with full military honors. A delegation of Explorers Club members attended the last rites. Stephenson has retired as president of the club, and Dr. Herbert Spinden has been elected president. Chief of Clan Fergus is in mourning for our club mascot, Mukanji, our African parrot, who recently died, evidently from a broken heart because you boys are so far away. Those of you who remember the Endless Caverns trip will be interested in knowing that we will soon journey to the Dismal Swamp. Be sure to mail your income tax returns by midnight. You just have 10 minutes by our clock. Perhaps your frozen assets. Well, that's all from the Explorers Club, but here's Malcolm Hansen with some personal remarks.
Hello, Admiral, and all the rest of you down there. I was mighty glad to hear from Bob English that your West base is pretty well established near our old stamping grounds at Little America. Also, that you are now setting up the East base on Palmerland. I know how busy you all must be these days, digging out after each blizzard and rushing to get everything squared away before the winter night catches up with you. You'll be interested to hear, Admiral, that John Reinhardt, who went to Greenland with you in 1925, and Ralph Shropshire of our 1928 trip are now also on active duty at the Navy Department. At the Explorers Club in New York, I recently saw Carl Peterson and Dana Coleman. Here, I often see Lloyd Berkner, Bill Haynes, and occasionally Joe Deganall. All send warmest regards to all of you. All kinds of good luck, and so long, everybody.
Thank you, Commander Hansen and Captain Cowling. And you can be sure that the youth of America is following your splendid work. We have a group of young students from the Henry D. Cook Elementary School in Washington. They're about to have the thrill of their lives in knowing that you are listening to their messages to you. They have formed an Explorers Club of their own, and here is Bobby Walters, age 10, to speak for the group.
Hello down there, Little America. Here's some news from the fifth grade of the Henry D. Cook School. We have an Admiral Byrd Explorers Club in our room. We are very interested in the explorations which you and your men have undertaken. We keep files of clippings on your trip. The boys are making models of your ships, planes, and snow cruisers. Some children in my room have painted an almost real picture of Little America. And every time I look at it, I think of you with your men way down in that frozen land of Antarctica. Admiral Byrd's book, Alone, is being read to us. Good luck to each and every one of you.
And here's little Harriet Krantz, who came to this country from Poland just 2 years ago. She went out to the zoo to see the emperor penguin you sent back.
Hello, everybody in Little America. Would you like to know how the king of penguins, which you so kindly sent to our zoo, is getting along? I went down to visit him a week ago, but to my surprise I found a band of cloth across the cage hiding His Majesty's head. A policeman standing by told me that the penguin had upset the whole cage in his excitement. From what I heard, I think His Majesty was a little frightened. I guess he'd like to be down there with you, but I think he'll get used to his new home, even though he won't have his native surroundings. He has a few little penguins in his cage, but they stand at attention when he passes. I think these little penguins are trying their best to make His Majesty feel at home. That about ended my visit to the zoo, but I promised myself to visit the penguin again very soon and try to see more than just head and feet.
The Cook School Explorers Club has selected its own identification button. Haig Panossian, age 10, won the contest for the best design.
Hello, Little America. My design for the club button took me only 10 minutes to draw. I just put a penguin down on paper and drew some icebergs and water around him, colored the whole drawing, and that won the prize. And Admiral Byrd, we want you and the members of your expedition to be honorary members of our club. We're going to send you our club buttons. Please, Admiral Byrd, won't you send us back a souvenir that we can set up in our classroom at school? If you do, gosh, will the rest of the kids be jealous.
And now here's the 11-year-old Hans Berliner.
When Admiral Byrd is in the night, he certainly sees a wonderful sight, all the planets, all the stars. The comets with their tails so bright are racing around, left and right. The meteors, as if in a race, are dashing about in far-off space.
And now, Patricia Yronkel, age 10, reading Antarctic Dawn.
When the sun rises in the morning and the clouds are hanging high, it must be a beautiful picture to see them all passing by. When the pink in the sky fades away and the morning light brings back the day, in memory lane this morn will linger, for what will never come back again.
11-year-old Clara Duke reads a poem of Dolly Osterwald.
Penguins. Penguins running here and there, getting scraps of fur and hair, in their full-dress suits so neat, running around in their bare feet.
Charles Leslie, age 10, tells you all about budgets.
You go on long journeys to explore new lands. You work and you work as hard as you can. Then when the budget's as low as can be, you go come home from the Antarctic to the land of the free.
And finally, Eleanor Schefferman.
To our friends in Little America, we welcome this chance to talk to you, to send to you greetings from our class. Your expeditions to the Antarctic have been to us so real, so exciting, so inviting, it gives us a thrill. We give three cheers to you, great pioneers, so far yet so near. Good luck to you. You are true blue. You have no great fear.
And so we hope that these children have expressed the sentiments of all the youngsters here at home who wish you Godspeed in your work. United States Navy Band concludes tonight's broadcast with the playing of the Star-Spangled Banner. You have been listening to a salute from the nation's capital to Admiral Byrd and members of the United States Antarctic Expedition to Little America. Tonight, the Washington Evening Star has been pleased to dedicate this special program to the intrepid men exploring in the frozen wastes at the bottom of the world. 2 weeks from tonight, another program will be presented, sponsored by the Richmond News Leader of Richmond, Virginia. We bid you good night and continued success. The Washington Evening Star salute to Little America was relayed to Admiral Byrd and his men through the shortwave facilities of General Electric's powerful station, WGEO. This is Don Gardiner speaking. This is the National Broadcasting Company.